Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Gail, it's the morning after the Game Awards. I stayed up until 3:30 in the morning keeping up with all this different stuff, so I sound horrible.
But wait, did you actually?
I mean, yeah. I mean, what, am I not going to stay up until... What, am I not going to watch this stuff?
It's, you absolute mug. Just
it's got to be done. I want to be
little,
there.
Have a little coffee and then just like sit there and just watch them all like I did. I was just like, no, show me the best bits. Go on, there we go.
No, because what if there's a Splinter Cell thing, or what if there's a Breath of the Wild thing? What if there's a thing that happens and I want to be there?
You are totally correct, but was there a new Breath of the Wild thing?
No.
Was there a new Bioshock thing? No. Was there a new Splinter Cell thing? No, there wasn't.
No, there was nothing at all. But I mean, well, there was a few handfuls of things, and it was a lovely, lovely show. To be honest, I thought that that was one of the best Game Awards that I think Keighley's put on. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there was occasional bits where it was just too many adverts in a row, and it was like, can you get back to the awards? This is also why we're here. But overall, you know, nice amount of stuff, nice amount of reveals. The actual awards themselves went to, I would say, the right sort of candidates. Massively chuffed for Joseph Farah's getting Game of the Year for It Takes Two. That thing is a phenomenal piece of work.
Wasn't It Takes Two in the stories recently because of the fact that Take Two had tried to copyright their name against them, saying that
is that where that came from? I saw there was a legal thing against their name because it was like there was some legal proceedings on the fact that it's called It Takes Two. So I don't know if he's gonna have to change that, but that's like that. I was saying, Josh, that reminds me of like when Bethesda tried to trademark Scrolls. And then it was like, because like Mojang made a game after Minecraft called Scrolls. And they were like, no, that's ours.
Or the Fine Brothers trying to react.
The Candy Crush when King said that they owned the word Saga. And it was just trying to do this. But something else that came out during the Game Awards was The Matrix Awakens, which was a weird little random Unreal Engine 5 tech demo, which is actually playable. It's really weird how robust it is. And I kind of want to just open the... I should also say, haven't qualified at all, this is the Untitled Partner Podcast. I'm Scott Tilford, your Jules Gale.
Hello, everyone.
Every week we get people's questions, talking points, whatever, which I've got plenty of stuff to talk about, but thought we'd open on the Game Awards because it's a big old thing. But The Matrix thing... is really interesting because it's almost like a PT style thing. It's like a playable teaser for something if they decide to go forward with it. But it's incredibly impressive, like very photorealistic. Opens on a sequence with Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss reprising their younger versions of themselves. And you just get to play this like highway sequence, which is really, really well done. Like if you're a Matrix fan like I am, it's very much Matrix Reloaded's highway scene. And then you just get put in the open world and you can just walk around, you can get in cars, and it just looks incredible. It's like photoreal. And so I played a little bit of it this morning just to see what was going on as a 5-10 minutes. And that thing said like Game of the Year. I don't know, but might be one of the best things that you can do with your time in 2021. Just
it's so amazing because when I first saw it, I was there like, okay, looks good, but does it play good? And then it was like, because obviously it was the chase sequence, it was all like on the rails. So I was like, okay, that's actually quite easy to do in terms of the grand scale of things because you can tell people where to shoot and what to like what they are seeing. But when it got to the open world section bits, you're walking around. I know that, like you say, it still is very, very linear. It felt very impressive.
Well, it is like a whole
The level felt huge.
Yes.
But it was like, I knew I was like constantly thinking, like, this can't be right. Surely there's gonna be some like massive graphical hiccup going on, or they're running this on PCs that would power the NASA space shuttle, like something.
It does tank if you get in a car, like, because you can get in a car, you can go for a drive, and it's fine for a bit, but once you get to about, I don't know, 90 or 100 mile an hour, it just starts to hitch a bit, and then if you crash into stuff, the frame rate drops a lot.
What I like about this is that potentially the developers could use this as part of selling the Matrix itself. It's like, it's not actually a glitch in the game. It's actually just the Matrix just having a bit of a wobble. Like,
you're just overloading it a bit too much.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's like, it's an interesting point because obviously the Matrix, the new Resurrections is out really soon. And I kind of wonder how much it is just to tie into that. Because the whole, it opens on this whole thing with Keanu talking about what's real and what's not. And the digital version of him and the real him sort of talking to each other. And like, they recreate some scenes from the movie, but it's in the Unreal Engine. Really, really cool thing. That might be it. It might just be something for the movie, but I hope they do a Matrix game that's this big, or they do something cool with the Matrix in a game space.
100% agree.
There's not been a Matrix game since like Matrix Online, and that died in 2011, and then Path and Neo enter the Matrix.
Yeah.
What a beautiful time. I love that stuff. I was all on board for the multimedia Matrix onslaught across the 2000s. But yeah, so anything else stand out to you for the game? But we'll get to some questions and stuff. But what did you think?
Warhammer Space Marine.
I couldn't believe that was a thing again. Like, I was watching, it was like the chainsaw guns, and then
10 years I've been waiting, Scott Telford, for this moment when I saw Titus take off his helmet and saw all the little bolts that he'd had in his head put in there, which shows that he's been improving in rank. And I was like, oh my god, he lives to fight another day, and we're fighting Tyranids.
When they cut back to the guy, because they've got like some actor, he's a big deal. I don't know who the dude was, but they cut back and they were like, and such and such is playing Tyrannus or the Titus or the guy from Final Fantasy X, whatever he's called. And they got him in. But he was standing there with a massive gun, like a massive chainsaw rifle thing. And I was like, this dude is loving the fact that he's getting to play this guy, which is really, really cool. But they had like, obviously the BioShock was, I'll carry on.
Well, the thing is that I loved about the announce trailer was that it wasn't just CGI footage, because I was like, oh no, like, I am hyped, don't get me wrong, but I was like, please show me something concrete to actually make sure that my fears aren't like, I was getting very worried that it was going to be all talk, no trousers. But then when I saw the gameplay and saw you like absolutely fighting against those, like the swarm of like little gene stealers that were there, I was like, oh my god, gene this stealers? Looks great. Well, the Tyranids are like this big biospore-loving alien race. They only
have
like...
is like a name for a certain level of person around Gateshead. I don't know.
It's that they've got like tons of different like bioweapons, and they've got different forms and like groups within them. And the big warrior one was the one with the four arms that he just took down easily. The chainsaw just straight through him. I was like, oh yeah,
To be fair, there's a gap in the market with Gears of War, you know, in between Gears of War installments. We hardly get any cover shooters anymore. Mm-hmm. It seems like this one's a bit more full on anyway, but like still like that over shoulder third person action thing, like, yeah, why not?
Well, it's been made by Focus, who did the Necromunda hired gun game as well. And while that did have a few issues here and there, overall, it was a really great representation of what Necromunda is. So I'm hopeful that this will do the same for 40K and give people, to be honest, a game that we've been clamoring for ages, which is literally just Gears of War again. Like, just give us this game again, but smashing as many people as possible.
Yeah, the sheer size of the armor as well. Like, massive shoulder pads, huge guns.
I think it'd be good fun. It's so over the top.
It looks really solid. For me, the reveal of the whole thing was Alan Wake 2. I know that we knew it was coming anyway. Lots of rumors for it, but I just love the way that little teaser was edited. And like, I forget what you call the dude that plays Alan Wake, but like cutting... I'm sure it was him. I'm sure it's not... Some people say it's CG. I'm pretty sure it's him as Alan.
No, I think it is CG.
Ah, okay.
But they've done a really good job with it, to be fair.
My bleary eyes at 2:30 in the morning just couldn't tell, but like, I was watching that and it was just like, but it's their first survival horror. I was just like, that is like the perfect fit. Like, just take Alan Wake, horror it up a bit, make it more resource intensive, make it more jump scary. Like, there's a bit in the teaser where it cuts to his face all gnarled up and bloody. Well, like, brilliant.
If we're to go off of obviously the original Alan Wake, where like his own creations are like made manifest as his own fears and like darkest desires and stuff, if this is the case and we're seeing a fractured, more like broken Alan, then that means that potentially at certain points we might get the kind of what's it called, eternal darkness thing with like messing with the game. I'm hoping
like
we get
Insanity Mirror or something.
I hope that we get a return of that again, where like you need to like I don't know, covet the light, stay out of the darkness. Otherwise, you'll be consumed by your own fears and stuff. That would be amazing.
Oh, man. I mean, if people haven't played the original Alan Wake, like the remaster came out.
I have,
this year,
yeah. It's outstanding. It's brilliant. I waited until the remaster because I was like, I had just basically put it off for so long. And when I finally played it, I was like, wow, I see what everyone was talking about. This is so well scripted.
It's so well written. Like, this whole like dice section of the author and like owning your own work and putting yourself into it. It's great.
It's a bit ropey in the gameplay departments in some places, but the overall like narrative just pulled me right along. I was like, yes, please.
Sometimes,
mate.
I mean, I got back in 2010, I got a bit sick of the whole like, weaken them with light and then finish them off.
Yeah.
But like, when you get like a hold of like, you know, like meatier weapons, like some of the hits, like when you just nail a headshot, like it powers like crazy.
Crunchy.
It's it's so good. I did note down just a couple other things. Elden Ring got like a CG expansion trailer. It looked solid enough. I'm weirdly meh on Elden Ring. I'm super in the minority.
That got me
that.
More hyped, to be honest. I saw that because I was like watching the giant battle between the silent sword blade wielding woman and the giant like demon general. I was like, cool, this is, it feels like Dark Souls, but it does feel abjectly different. I feel like I was waiting for the art style to like take over and show me why I should be like really invested. So now I am on board. February 22nd, I am there for it.
I think the thing that's going to differentiate for me is like I want to get into that game's like gameplay loop. Like I want to see what the feel is once you start darting between different points of an open world, and then see how it feels when that clicks, because that'll be the thing that differentiates it. More so from Dark Souls. There's also the Silent Hill creator came back like with a new thing called Slitterhead, and I was like, that's a great name. Even though it was quite cartoony, I thought.
I thought that it reminded me more of when Resident Evil took its turn towards more action orientated gore rather than the straight up survival horror aspects, because this seemed to be, have you seen the film? Oh man, it's going to really annoy me. I want to call it, it's the one with the spiral, Junji Ito,
I know who Junji Ito is, but I'm not that familiar with his work. I've seen Chris Rock's Spiral though.
Well, let's just say that is it. but it's basically that sort of horror, but almost an element of weird, grotesque comedy to it.
Okay.
Like it's the morphing of bodies to the extent where the grotesque becomes that fine line between horror and comedy. And I felt like I was watching that on the screen because of the angular motions and the almost comical woman's face coming back together with all that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm intrigued, but because we didn't see any gameplay of it and we just saw like over the top stuff in a very... very like
it was quite
rock soundtrack. I was like, is this going to be Platinum Games does horror style thing?
Yeah.
Like,
what... Do you see that thing that was called, it's called like Metal Hellsinger as well, where they've got, it was like dude from Lamb of God, Randy Blythe, and I'm sure Matt Heafy announced it, but it's like, it looks like BPM, except that it's like, it's metal music, and it's like really thumping thrash
stuff.
Get it
in my veins.
I also saw, there was the Wonder Woman game, first thing from Monolith,
Shadow of War. Yep.
Very, very short teaser, but they do mention that, like, you're going to be leading people. So that has to have the Nemesis system in it.
I was about to say, because it's Warner Brothers, because it's Montreal, it's got to have something in it, because they have done nothing with it since. So it's like, it would be such a shame, and they patented it as well, so it's like no one else can use it, so why not?
Well, there was the like talk of the amount of stuff that got cancelled with them, like I forget the specifics, but like there was like a different there was like a while ago they were gonna do a Batman game. It was looking at using like this Joker toxin to take over different groups of people and put and like lead an army that way, and
that sounds cool
as Batman, and then that sort of went out the window and never got talked about, and then we got Shadow of Mordor and then Shadow of War, and then there's just not been anything else. So I kind of like, if they do a Wonder Woman, I would never have expected that, but I think that's quite a cool fit. Like she very much would look awesome leading an army of people against different people and stuff. So I'd be psyched for that. We also got a look at the Quantic Dream Star Wars game, which
Eclipse.
Yes, which I did a thing when I was like, the CG trailer was playing out, I was like, okay. Like I don't care about Star Wars anymore. Like, I mean, I do and I don't, like whatever. I've got a whole love hate thing with it. This looks really cool though. And I went, and then they showed that guy come out the ooze, and I was like, oh, maybe that's like a weird Sith guy. And I was like, that looks really cool. And then it cut to the Quantic Dream logo and I went, okay then. Oh, I don't know. It's David Cage. I have zero faith. I hated Detroit Become Human. I don't know.
If it's going to be just a story-driven game where it's just make your choice and live it out, sort of like...
Which it is. There's more details about it now. Like, it's a whole branching thing. It's got a million playable characters.
I'm kind of here for it because I do like the lore of Star Wars a lot more than some of the action that's presented, because no offense, guys, there's only so many flips and backflips that I can see in a lightsaber fight before it starts to become a bit numbing, you know.
I'm just saying
I prefer the power that comes from their words and dialogue, which was so ham-fisted in the movies, but I prefer the meaning behind it rather than if this could be like a bridge between Star Wars and Game of Thrones in terms of the political like choice system that they did in the Telltale games, bring it on.
They showed a lot of different factions, like a lot of different armies marching and a lot of different groups and stuff. They show Yoda at one point looking out, so maybe you get to do part of it as the Jedi Council or something. I'm sure David Cage will throw his accusatory backside into everything and we'll see how it goes. But
the only problem is that we know that it's going to be the most heavy-handed message ever. Become Human was all about like racism and class warfare. This one is probably going to be the same, because I feel like those are the two notes that he strings out again and again. And don't get me wrong, in this current climate, there are no greater causes to talk about than those two things.
Yeah, but
it's just
course.
Being bludgeoned in over the face with, do you get it yet? It's like, we actually do get it. We're living through it.
Yes, and we get it in the first 5 minutes because you've laid it out in big flashing neon letters. Like, I hope for the best. They have an insane budget behind them and maybe they can turn it around. Did you see the Halo teaser as well?
For the TV show,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hyped. I've just got off the back of playing a lot of the Halo Infinite campaign. And we'll talk about this at another point, because I feel like the audience are not getting any of their questions answered. But like the campaign at the moment, you were totally right. It's sci-fi's Far Cry.
Ubisoft made a Halo game.
But I'm completely fine with that, because the gameplay is so good that I haven't played Far Cry 5. I haven't played a Far Cry game since Far Cry 5, really. Okay. And so that gameplay loop, I've been out of it for so long. So now that I'm diving back in, I'm like, oh, this is just the best version of this gameplay cycle.
True.
So I'm fully hyped up for Master Chief at the moment. So when I saw this Halo teaser trailer for the TV show, I was like, sign me up.
The Master Chief suit that they've got, the costume is bang on as well. I think there's a thing that I have with a lot of modern sci-fi shows where it just looks like people in costumes. It doesn't there's a bit too sheeny, a bit too clean, not enough sort of like grit or whatever. But I'm curious, optimistic about it.
That's exactly what I felt about the Book of Boba Fett that they just announced on the thing, because when he comes down the ship and he's wearing like his full garb, I was like, I know that he's been away for so long and I know that we're saying that he's reborn, but I don't like the fact that all the armor is like brand new. Like, just have a few paint scratches, make it feel like it's been worn a few times, because it's just like, oh, I don't want to get my daps dirty sort of thing, like vibe to it all.
But my thing with like Wheel of Time and The Witcher is that it looks like cosplayers in a field. It doesn't look believable. It doesn't look like you're actually there. And Amazon have done it. I mean, it's not like Halo is an Amazon show, but the Expanse does it really well, where they actually build the sets.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
They have to be in that space. And I kind of hope that Halo gets that. We didn't see that much of it, but we got to have a look at Master Chief and stuff like that. So hopefully it's cool. Last thing I think worth mentioning is the Sonic 2 trailer. Do you see the movie trailer?
See, I thought you were going to go a completely different way, because my last point of mention would be the Senua's Sacrifice.
You mentioned something big before, and I was going to mention the Hellblade 2. Yeah, we got to see the boss battle.
We'll do the Sonic one. We'll do the Sonic one. First, because
Hellblade did look gorgeous though.
Oh my god, Sonic of the Colossus is real.
Oh, I meant this. Well, there's the Sonic movie trailer, but there's also Sonic
Frontiers,
yeah. which I mean, whatever. I'm not gonna lie,
like, I might get a bit of hate for this, but I thought that looked bollocks. I was like, I've seen every little biome here. You could have told me that this was like Bio Mutant, you could have told me that this was like any sort of third person action
or
game,
Halo Infinite,
just by showing me those biomes, and I'd be like, yeah, fine. You're not showing me anything new here. And then it's like, Sonic looks shocked as a giant stands near him. It's like, oh no.
Well, the thing is, all they do now is just take whatever trend is in at the moment. Like Sonic Unleashed was their attempt to do like a God of War type thing. This is very much them doing a Breath of the Wild. Like, I mean, like the way that it's shot, the press release that came out, it's the same stuff. And so maybe like a fully open world Sonic could be cool, I guess, but bleh.
Do not get me wrong. There is going to be, if they can nail one thing, this game will be pretty decent, and that is the traversal. Because you are given a character that has these like the speed of Sonic. Imagine being able to just literally jet over miles of landscape in mere seconds. Now that would actually be amazing.
Then it's like they have to then do enough content that's worth zipping around to,
because
it's
stopping like
it's like fast travel the game. But like, yeah, I mean, maybe. But then there's the Sonic movie, which looks kind of cool. We got to hear Idris Elba as Knuckles.
I really enjoyed that.
I do like that. I love how he just smashes him into the floor, and that stuff looks cool. And then the final thing worth pointing out is Hellblade 2, which was quite a scripted sequence, but it was like a big old boss battle up against this sort of weird half dead giant human thing, and Senua is leading like an army against them. The thing is, like, if you played Hellblade 1, then I don't know where we are in the timeline. I'm guessing this is before everything,
I guess you either look at it like that, or you do it as like, you know, the classic Dark Souls thing of suffering reborn, the constant battle between light. Like, it exists outside of time and space, as it were. Mm-hmm. This is just a moment, a fraction of that experience. Mm-hmm. But I did enjoy the fact that when the giant is like climbing out, he's almost like crying and struggling. Yeah. And because all the way through that cave, you're listening to whispers and fears and doubt. And it's like your fears made manifest, growing and growing and growing. It's this horrible creature that you can't control. And then whenever it comes back to face you, you are unprepared if you haven't tried to take it down.
They do such a great job. I think it's called binaural audio, where it's recorded in 3D. If you haven't played the first Hellblade, do that and play it with headphones, because like the voices are all around you at all times.
Yeah,
shout out, you know, where you're about to get attacked from. You can deflect that way. It's so cool.
My friend Gareth, who I lived with back in the day, he did his PhD on binaural audio, and it was just mad, some of the experiments that he was coming up with, recording stuff in anechoic chambers, which means there's no echo, so it's like you get like a mono voice, and then he was like using it to position it around the earphones and different things. Like, oh, it's very mad.
A whole game around that, and obviously using it to represent psychosis and like being unsure of yourself and stuff. It is really, really cool. But yeah, Hellblade, it's been a while since we first saw it. I think it was when the Series X was first announced, but it seems like it's coming together really, really well. We should transition into the usual Untitled Banter podcast, because we got a whole bunch of questions last week, loads of different things that are going to carry over, so we've got plenty of questions to get to.
Before we do, have two pieces of news that I need to say. The first is, do we have a sponsor? Do we have to do the thing?
No, we are all out of sponsors. I hope
Excellent, cool. Forget that then.
Skin still.
Forget that. And in that case, then revise this.
I mean, we do have plenty of sponsors, but I don't need to talk about them on the show. They'll take care of themselves.
One piece of news in that case, and that is, my friends, that the UBP mug is definitely happening. I got in touch with Rich. He's going to send over the art assets. The bosses have approved it. So, and a load of people online, thank you very much for writing to us, by the way, have said that they would like to drink hot liquids out of a mug with our two faces on it. So look forward to that in the new year when we get that all printed.
That's incredible.
Up and
Merry Christmas, everyone, and thank you for sorting that, Jules.
Indeed.
I think we'll be drinking to them. We'll put a picture up on Twitter or something when we finally get the first pressing through, because the artwork will look great. But yes, usually the Untitled Banter podcast is we take as many questions and talking points from you as possible and then get through as many as we can. We got a huge response last week, so I rolled some over to this week. So we still will get through as many as we can. A question from William Start III, who says, if you could only listen to three albums for the rest of your life, which would they be?
Oh, why do
Your
this?
That's feeling, so Jules Gill.
That's so harsh. You need to make sure that they were very different genres, because you would get so tired of the same one over and over again.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Maybe I think I would my initial one would be, it's always gonna be Alter Bridge's Blackbird. I just adore that album. I have a whole thing where I love Alter Bridge so much that I listen to them too much, so I have to I have to take a break. I have to wean myself off so I can revisit them again. But their second album, Alter Bridge's Blackbird, would be one of mine. And then I think some sort of synthy thing, like something that's more chill. I can't think what you call the artist that I've been listening to, but I've been listening to this like synth album, which is really, really slow. It's very much like the Blade Runner soundtrack. And as I say that, I now can't think of it. But if you talk about what you would do, I'll look it up.
It's so hard to pick your like favorite albums ever. But I think that I would probably go for, one of them would be Vizu by Thrice, because I feel like that was my first foray into sort of more alternative takes on rock and things like that. And I really, truly adore that album. I don't think there's a bad track on it, because it completely fits whatever emotion you're going for. You've got some slow songs, you've got some heavy songs, you've got some thinky songs. Like, it's a good album through and through. In terms of what I do to change that into a different genre, maybe I'd go for something more chilled out and pick something from Submotion Orchestra's back catalogue. Maybe
you're getting way more colours. You're trying to think of stuff to like live with for
trying to do. I'm trying to think, like, what wouldn't drive me mad if I had to listen to over and over? And I know that these two bands at least would give me enough variance to keep things fresh. So maybe that would be a good one. But that's the third one. Maybe I would just go for some stonkingly big tunes and pick what's the Rammstein album with Mutter. Oh. Yeah, Mutter is the album.
Yeah, Mutter's the album. Yeah.
I go for Mutter because there are every single song in that is big, chanting, foot stomping fun from start to finish.
I'd have to have something that's big and bombastic. Like I said, I'd have my Alter Bridge for me, because Alter Bridge for me is like, it's like soul stirring, it's soul uplifting. Like, I feel like I can get through life better with the help of Miles Kennedy's lyrics and Mark Tremonti's playing. I also saw Miles the other night and he was stellar, so it'd be something like that. I found the thing that I was looking for. It's called Dawn Over the Metropolis, and it's by Corp Telepath, which are a, I don't know what they're full. Actually, they're two different artists together. It's Corp and Telepath. But yeah, that's just like a really slow thing. It's very much just atmospheric, like cyberpunky, lots of synths, almost Blade Runner style, but with like lots of like rain noise and street noise and stuff like that.
Nice,
it's very chill,
a bit calming. Yeah,
yeah. If you're into your cyberpunk stuff like me, it's a lush background thing to just kind of have on. So I've been playing quite a lot of that, and I think at the minute I would have something like that. It'd be that or a chill hop album or something. Yeah,
but what would be maybe your third album?
My third one, I think, would just have to be some sort of old school thing, like maybe just Nirvana's Nevermind or something that reminds me of Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory, something like that.
Oh yeah, actually, you know, Linkin something Park's that Hybrid just kind of goes. Great shout.
Yeah, because it'd be like, remember when you had music back in the day? If I'm thinking 50 years in the future, I'm still like, I remember these with my memories tied to it. The next question from Kyle Gubert: how do you guys prepare for an unexpected promotion to a new job role? I've never prepared for a new position.
Yeah, you know what?
I've had to argue for it in person and then manage to get it and go, thanks very much, you do recognize me. But other than that, I've never been able to prepare for a promotion.
You know what? I've never prepared. I mean, I was telling the story where I had the shortest period of unemployment I ever had was I got let go from one job in Bristol when I was working at a production house, and then in the same afternoon got hired by What Culture. So I had an afternoon of unemployment, and I didn't really prepare, because those are two very different jobs in terms of what they were asking me to do. But when I arrived there, I didn't do any preparation apart from watching our own videos. That's all I did. So
actually, I will say that if the general sort of question is, you know, maybe you're aware that you have like some sort of end of year meetings review thing coming up, and maybe you want to angle for a promotion, maybe you want to angle for more money or something like that. For me, that would come down to looking at the statistics, looking at just how much you're literally worth, how much you're bringing to a company, and be prepared to be confident about yourself. Like, don't doubt yourself. Be like, I am literally worth this much. I think I'm worth this much. I can prove it and show that to your bosses. Like that's very much what I've done in the past. And it's undeniable at that point.
A pro tip for you, my friend. If you are in an interview section and you are wrapping up the interview and you're not entirely sure if you've cinched it yet, a good question to ask as you're before things wrap up is to say, are you looking for anything? Because, you know, they say like, do you have any questions for us? Just say, are you looking for any skills that you don't feel like I've demonstrated? Just so you open that conversation again. Because if they go and go, oh, we don't think that you showed any team skill stuff, or you didn't do like you what sales stuff thing, you then have an opportunity to talk about that again rather than closing the interview down before that. And if they say no, then you know you've given it your all. Like no matter what it is, like you've given it your all.
Because there's nothing worse than getting the feedback way after the, like obviously that's more for like a job interview thing or something else where they go, actually, well, we turned you down because of this. And it's like, well, if you'd said that, I actually have 10 years of experience in that field. It's just because of the certain context that maybe it was overlooked in the moment. Next question down from Nate, who says, good afternoon. Do you guys think there'll be a new face of the generation with PlayStation 5? Or do you think a previous character like Kratos, Nathan Drake, or Aloy will continue to be the face of PlayStation generations for years to come? I guess we can extend this across the industry. Yeah. Who do you think of when you think of mascots? Because I feel like that whole feel kind of has kind of gone away. Like in the 2000s, it was, you know, the Crash and Spyros and eventually Drake. And
We actually had a question that was similar to this a couple of weeks ago about who do we think the mascots are for each of the different brands. And I think that the feeling maintains the same, just there isn't so much of a singular face, as it were, because I feel like that's kind of eggs in one basket, apart from Nintendo, maybe with Mario, but even then they've got other like high profile hitters like Link and Kirby and stuff like that. So it's better to have multitudes of mascots rather than just having one, because if it crashes and burns like Sega, you always associate Sega with Sonic, and Sonic's games ain't great at the moment.
I tell you what though, like realizing the way Halo Infinite got rolled out, the how pristine Master Chief's armor is and how much they've doubled down on the original Halo's look. Like Halo Infinite is very much the silent cartographer level made into a full game.
Yep.
And Mr. Chief, Chief Leaf, is he's very pristine. He's very like, this is the iconic version of Chief that you remember. He looks like an action figure. He looks like it's very easy to remember him and associate a certain shade of green with him. And I feel like that was Microsoft going like, well, we need to double down on this. We can't keep changing his armor around and making him different shades of green and everything. And he feels a bit more like a Nintendo character, or like what he would look like if he appeared in Smash Brothers. He almost looks like his Fortnite self. He's very like, you know, bright and pristine. So I think that was Xbox just saying that we need to have Master Chief be as identifiable as possible. And I think it works in their regard, but they don't have that many others. They have old Marcus Fenix, and occasionally they have Mr. Fable. They'll put an RPG guy out there sometimes.
It's always quite funny when they age a character dramatically, because then they're like, oh, please like the next generation of stars. Please don't like his son or daughter as much as the original one, because if not, then we're screwed.
JD Phoenix in Gears,
then, that's the thing. So now they've got to keep old man Phoenix around for as long as possible. I'm just hoping that when they eventually do come back for a Gears of War game, that they just do their version of Logan, you know, like a really gritty, really hard hitting thing.
I would totally, I mean, I like playing as Kate in Gears 5, but I would totally take like the old crew, like one more mission kind of thing. But I guess it has been kind of done, but some of the best parts of those newer Gears games are when you get to play as the old crew or get to hang around with the old crew. But yeah, I have like I've thought about this before. I have like a feeling that most companies associate the idea of mascots with youth and immaturity and a childlike feeling to gaming. Like the originals, like we said, were either it's Nintendo's mascots, which are, you know, all ages friendly, or it's Crash, it's Spyro. And then as soon as Nathan Drake came along, all of it went away, because it was like, well, we have this like mature person, this like adult who's now the face of PlayStation. There's not that many others.
You got to look at it as well as terms of representation, because there is such a focus now on player customization for their characters. That's the thing that companies want to sell with their games. They don't want to sell a prescribed mascot. They want to sell you are the mascot. You are getting to create your own story and things like that. That's that's one of the biggest selling points for most games at the
moment. That's the whole other thing as well, because I'm fine with that character customization. It's fun. I always mostly associate with RPGs, but I don't want to create a custom character all the time. I want you to you know, you guys are the artists, you guys are the creatives. Who should I play as? What story should I be investing in? Like I want more defined characters. I don't want everything to be choices. I would rather you came to me with a level of confidence that said, like, we've written this character and maybe you'll agree with some parts of it and maybe you won't, but that's what a creative like outlet is to me, to some degree. But I guess it depends what story they're telling. Next question is Nathan R246, who says, what game have you put off for so long that you thought you wouldn't enjoy it but turned out to be one of the best games you've ever played? Mine was the Darksiders series, which I love. Massive shout out to Joe Madureira and the Darksiders franchise. I adore that.
Yeah, you know what? It's really, really tough for me to get motivated to play a game if I have heard like mixed reviews or like I just didn't get enthused by it the first time around. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I am playing at this very moment, I'm playing through Mortal Shell because of the fact that it was added to Game Pass. And the reason that I didn't take it up previously was because I was going through my like seventh or eighth run of Dark Souls 3 at the time. I just finished it. It had come out and I was like, you know what? I'm a bit burned out on the series there. And I didn't think that I'd enjoy it because everyone who was talking about it was like, it's like Dark Souls, but it's with less budget. And there's the blocking mechanic could be a bit funky sometimes. Mm. And there was a lot of like glitches or problems with it because it was a smaller studio. So I was just kind of like, yeah, that looks great, but I'm going to give it a go.
It is very Souls, yeah.
But when I played it, I was like, you know what? Again, it's been just long enough for it to be outside of my memory. Mm. I went back into it and I was like, hello, this is going to be fun. And I'm just getting used to all of the way that it feels different, the way you have to play it different, more aggressively, and then do like the hardening at the time when you're being attacked and stuff like that. It's like,
that's
very fun.
Breaks my head because you've got to tank hits. You need to absorb them. So it's like
it goes into everything. You know what it's about, because I'm just constantly like backing away and dodging. And it's like, actually, I'm getting ruined because the fact that I'm running out of stamina and I'm not staying in the fight to do just that one more hit.
Because you need
to do the killing blow.
Yeah, it's like you need to like take a hit to free up that window of attack in between their swing, so you're ready to hit back. I had to recalibrate the consciousness to get through that thing.
But one of the very first enemies that you come across are just like big hulking guys with halberds, and they do like big long poking attacks or sweeping strikes, and you go up to them and you just hammer all your attack buttons, and they tank a few hits themselves before like doing some hits on you. And it takes, I think it's one or two hits more than your starting stamina bar can dish out. But obviously if you harden when they're attacking you, you get enough stamina to get those two. So by the end of it, I was like, oh, I'm just going to tank this hit and go, bah, 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 and just take him down. I was having a great time once I figured
it reminds you of like every Souls boss or FromSoft boss that just does tank your hit and then hit you back. It's like, no, I can do this now. This is the
how do you like it?
For me, it would be the Forgotten City. I have a whole thing with time loop games where obviously there's been a lot this year. And I put off the Forgotten City for the vast majority of this year. But my whole thing with time loop games is that it's just, I hate bad checkpointing in games. I hate feeling that I've lost time in a thing. And obviously the time loop genre is that incarnate. So I always just,
I'm just like,
oh my God, I'm replaying this. I don't want to. Ugh, I hate it. And that's why I hated 12 minutes. But Forgotten City is a phenomenally well done one of these. And they expedite a lot of the gameplay loop side of it. So you're not replaying stuff over and over again. You can always just have a conversation with the character and speed things along. But it is a mystery game. You're trying to figure out what happened to this underground city, why everybody dies if one of them commits a sin. It's really, really cool. And there's four different endings. The fourth ending is the craziest thing I've seen in a long time. Staying away from spoilers.
In a good way?
No, yes and no. Like I was sending, because Josh has finished it as well, I was sending him screen grabs going, is this actually happening? Am I actually seeing this? I'm dancing around it because at some point you should probably play it yourself.
Okay.
But that thing is, I mean, it's insane. But The Forgotten City is a phenomenal game overall. The first three endings are way more solid and way more recommendable. The fourth one is banana sandwich, ridiculous. What the hell are we even doing? But also you should see it at some point in your life. Last couple of questions. Now, I did bring some even older questions in because I feel sorry for people who send stuff in and we don't get around to everything. So I went back even weeks prior and brought some other stuff in. So the final couple of questions, one from Matthias Grimm, who says, what game has the best character creator? We're talking swathes of options and graphical quality. Love you all. Stay safe.
It's a tough one because half the time you end up spending so many hours in the character customization suite, and then you just go out there and pop a helmet on straight away or completely changes you never see him. I enjoy Saints Row had a great one.
Yeah.
Like, because of all of the like the craziness you do, like making your dong huge and stuff like that. It was just like pointless features that you don't really need, but it was fun just to mess around with it.
No, dude, Saints 3 and 4, because you can go back to those the surgery places and just keep switching yourself around. I would change gender and everything in between every single mission, like just completely remix myself.
You know what one I actually love is, it's a character, I'm not entirely sure which of the SmackDown games that it was introduced in, because they all have pretty decent character creation.
Wrestling games
stuff.
Is a shout, actually,
I mean, to be fair, they did kind of get less options for a while because of 2K just having their weird way with it, and then they suddenly had loads back in again.
Right.
But one of the games, and I can't remember which one, introduced a feature where you could take existing superstars and edit their appearances and entrances.
That was so, in the Raw game on Xbox.
Oh, that was it. Raw. Yeah, WWE day, yeah. Raw on the Xbox. Yeah, that was it. That was the one I remember playing because I remember making taking Bull Buchanan, who was my boy of boys. And basically,
why took him?
Because he was so rubbish. I just loved him because he was so bad. Because he was part of the right to censor. It had that horrible me. So I took that and gave him Hulk Hogan's entrance. We came down doing the old like hand waving, the hot dog in and the posing. Yeah, I was like, oh, mate.
I mean, I definitely would back. Yeah, Saints Row massively. Cyberpunk's I was quite impressed by. You can do some. I wish there was more to it, which you could replace parts of your head with more Cyberpunk stuff.
That would be amazing.
But I still thought it was really, really cool. Last question, another old one from Aaron Scheller, who says, "What's an enemy from a non-horror game that still scares you? Hard mode challenge is no spiders allowed." So it depends what comes to mind.
The answer is, I could sum it up just. I'm just thinking about the flapping of their wings is sending me into a kind of like war flashback as I shudder. It's the Cazadores from Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, okay.
They are technically Fallout is not a horror series, but those are absolute nightmares. When you spot one, like the first time that you come across them, you're so used to like bloke flies and whatever. You think, oh, it's just like this thing from a distance. Mm-hmm. I'll just pop a few of it with my little trusty Magnum or a little revolver or whatever I've got. Uh-huh. And then you just see like, it's done no damage. Oh, it's coming right towards me. Oh, it's poisoned me and now I'm dead. Like, I hate the creakiness of their wings as well. It's like, stop it.
I've got a whole thing about like wings. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah. Not the band, but like whenever something gets like when it's flapping at you, it like
get
freaks
me
out.
Where I'm
just, it's like it's the fact that it doesn't fully touch you, it doesn't fully not touch you. It's just intermittent. That can freak me out. I think for me, he said hard mode, no spiders. I'm going to kind of walk that line because I don't know what you call them, but there's like these creatures in Dark Souls 3 that are, they live in water and they're lying face down in the water.
Oh, I know the ones. The drowned women ones.
They look like just drowned bodies and they hang amongst other bodies. So like the first time I was walking towards one of them and it sort of jumps up and I don't know what you call it, but it is kind of a spider. It becomes like a giant thing with like...
awful,
50 arms.
Absolutely disgusting.
I've never been so genuinely terrified. I rarely get genuinely scared in a game, but I was playing with my wife at the time. We both screamed, which, like, I mean, like for me, screaming is just like, oh, and then like running the other way. And I had to run away, like sprint as fast as I could and go around the corner and like watch it for a bit to be like, what even is that creature? And then build up the confidence to actually go and fight it again. Meanwhile, my wife was just going, the whole time. So I would go with that thing, Dark Souls 3, whatever those weird water women bone spider things are.
Yeah.
Made a hell of a dent on me. So yeah, but massive thank you to everybody for sending in all their questions. It would have been last week, but we always have a lovely response from everybody. It's brilliant. So this has been the Entitled Banter Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford. You can find us over on Twitter. I'm at @LP89. Jules, what are you?
I am over there at RetroJ with a zero.
Be beautiful. We'll catch you all next week. We'll put another tweet out on Thursday and see what's going on in all your minds. We'll catch you then. Bye.
UBP, 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 UBP.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.